News without fear or favour. This is the distinguished slogan of the Lesotho Times. The leading weekly paper has long had an irreverent tone, writing openly about the government and the army. But one story recently hit a raw nerve when the paper revealed secret negotiations about an exit package for the country's army commander, Lieutenant General Tlali Kamoli. The publication almost got news editor Lloyd Mutangamiri killed. William Bird is a director of the NGO Media Monitoring Africa in South Africa. He says he's appalled by the shooting.
Well, I mean, you obviously feel outrage and anger that this is happening in a bordering country. You know, it's fundamentally unacceptable that we in 2015 and this kind of thing is not only going on, it's increasingly more and more prevalent. There was another publisher, in fact, in court this week appearing on a charge of criminal defamation. Which again, it just speaks to this desire to kind of clamp down on journalists and media that are trying to basically do their job, you know. And it seems that at the moment you seek to hold the powerful to account, that they're going to clamp down on you strongly. And certainly, you know, when you get to the point of assassination, it says that you've rattled the bars a little bit too much.
Mutangamiri was on his way home from work after finishing at the sister paper, The Sunday Express, when two unknown gunmen opened fire, shattering his lower jaw. His shooting came after a tough week for the company. Earlier, he and his colleague, Kaiso Moloboli, were both arrested by police and urged to reveal their sources. Moloboli has now fled the country and gone into exile. Lesotho has had challenges with media freedom in the past, but this is the first time an editor has been shot. Sabo Matsasa is the director of the Media Institute of Southern Africa in Lesotho. He told me the government needs to do more to protect journalists.
This is the matter that we urge our government to investigate thoroughly and give us a report as soon as possible. Because in the absence of such a report, then there's a panic and there's a lot of uncertainty in our country, especially among the media practitioners.
A lot of uncertainty, perhaps, but people's reaction to the attack has been humbling, describes Matsasa.
On radio stations, there were a lot of programs that were run about this, and people were phoning in, expressing their shock and surprise that at this time, at the age, the country now is experiencing what it is termed the media threat. So this actually was received with shock, and it was one clear message to the government of Lesotho that this has to come to an end. The government has to investigate this and provide a report that will enlighten people as to what is really happening and why is it happening the way it happened and what the government can do to protect the media, especially journalists in Lesotho.
The laws in Lesotho, however, make protecting journalists difficult. William Bird from Media Monitoring Africa mentioned one such law at the start of a program, criminal defamation. The CEO of the Lesotho Times, Basil Dumpeter, is currently facing this charge because of a satirical column that he wrote. I asked Sibo Matsasa to explain exactly what criminal defamation means.
Criminal defamation basically means that one has committed a crime by uttering the words that may, in one or another, defame certain people in high positions. It's actually charged of two charges. It's defamation, which is more of a civil case, and it's a criminal injury. So criminal injury basically is committing a crime which you are yet to establish as to what exactly it is.
It seems rather absurd, you know, to be charged but to not know the nature of the charge.
Yeah, that's actually the challenge that we have with our laws. Some of these laws were enacted maybe around 1912. We still have laws in places that were enacted as far back as that.
The archaic nature of Lesotho's laws has been blamed for some of the restrictions being imposed on journalists. William Bird explains why.
One of the things that's common to the Southern African region, in fact, is that despite many countries having legitimate and democratic governments coming into place as they acquired independence at various times, what is common among most of them is that they've retained former colonial laws. So what we're dealing with very often is still colonial hangovers. So in as much as media and as much as new governments might then go and say, right, we're not going to allow this kind of law any further, they do in fact still tend to keep the really old, outdated ones. And criminal defamation is one such example of that. And it's clear why, because you know, it makes sure that it's a useful tool that incoming governments can use to keep people in check.
Byrd has welcomed recent moves by the ruling ANC party in South Africa to remove criminal defamation from its laws. But the media in Johannesburg are facing other challenges. This is the sound of protesters in the city of Tshwane near Pretoria. Last month, violent protests broke out when the ANC tried to appoint a new mayor or candidate for the upcoming local elections in August. But in media houses like the state broadcaster, the SABC, there was a total blackout as journalists were banned from covering the protests. Those that did contest the company's editorial policy got sacked. They were eight in total, including Suna Venter, a senior producer for SABC. She says censorship has been building up in the company for months under the direction of Claudie Mutseneng.
It was little things like he would say, you know, we're only going to play 90% local music from now on, which in itself is not a bad decision. He would say we're going to do 70% positive stories. A little bit unrealistic, but not a bad decision. And then came the decision that we are not allowed to cover violent protests, and then the warning bell sounded. Then he started issuing verbal orders, and among those verbal orders was also an order that we were not allowed to report negatively on the president anymore.
One of the reasons why the new editorial policy was so controversial was that many staff members hadn't been informed, finding out about the new protest ban for a press release. William Byrd from Media Monitoring Africa has criticised management's approach.
When you're a media organisation and you're going to seek to limit media freedom, which you're very clearly doing, surely you must have some very clear thought and process as to what is the wrong that you seek to address. Why is this the most appropriate means, and is there evidence that doing this will in fact meet that desired end? None of those things, not a single one of them was present. In fact, what was clear about it was that this was a way of handing down an instruction from senior management to journalists in order to start to bring them into line with this particular way of thinking. And that particular way of thinking is you do what we tell you. If we tell you to walk right and you walk left, you walk right out of the building.
Which is what Suna and her seven colleagues did. They're currently in a legal battle with the state broadcaster about getting their jobs back, and they very well could. Pressure is growing on the SABC to reinstate them after the Independent Communications Authority ruled that its decision to ban footage of violent protests was unlawful. The verdict is set to be announced on Monday. I asked Suna how she's feeling about it.
I think I just wanted to make you aware of the Concord case that is still pending, and the amazing, amazing support we've had from civil society in South Africa on this issue. You know, 21 million people rely exclusively on the SABC for their news. If you censor that, you're in deep trouble. If you censor that in the 2 weeks running up to the election, you are in deeper trouble.
Muzzling the press denies the public of vital information and makes it difficult to hold officials accountable. But does that mean that there's no room at all for investigative journalism in South Africa? No, says William Byrd, who remains optimistic.
In South Africa, you can still write and report pretty much what you want to in different media, and we've got a far greater diversity. But in the city, you have to be extremely careful about how you report on certain subjects. You've got a handful of journalists that are ready and willing to try and do their best to tell stories, but for them the price is a lot higher, you know. So I think it does differ, but it's also why South Africa and the region is so critical to be pushing the beacon of media freedom and make sure that we show that more media freedom is in fact better for governance.
Until then, journalists will continue to fight to tell the truth, even if that means risking their lives. If the journalists at Lesotho Times were guided by their slogan of news without fear and favour, for Suna at SABC, her code is conviction, she says in this quote from the film The Interpreter.
The quote goes, "The gunfire around us makes it hard to hear, but the human voice is different from other sounds. It can be heard over noises that bury everything else, even when it's not very loud. Even when it's not shouting, because even the lowest whisper can be heard over armies if it's telling the truth."
You've been listening to African Media with me, Christina Okello. Until next time, keep listening to RFI.